In the words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, three kings came riding from far away, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. Three wise men out of the east were they, and they traveled by night and they slept by day, for their guide was a beautiful, wonderful star. The exotic entrance of the mysterious Magi add some colour and class to the manger scene. Our imaginations are fired. We love to conceive these wise ones, adorned in sparkly splendour, riding the hills on humps, then alighting to offer their obscure gifts. Have you ever wondered why they were called wise? You don't hear, for example, about the wise shepherds, the wise angels, or the wise Mary or Joseph. Why are the Magi then considered wise? By faith, they were Zoroastrians, worshippers of the god of light, Ahura Mazda. They believed that every great person had a guiding light in the heavens, which appeared as a star, and the greater the person, the brighter the star. So when they supposedly saw the star out west, it's no wonder they went looking. Being religious is no guarantee for being wise. Indeed, often religion can bring its own form of ignorance. Faith, however, is about risk. And these Zoroastrians dropped whatever they were doing and ventured forth across the borders of race, culture, and religion. That took great courage, great faith. Maybe that's why they were called wise. By culture and race, they were Persian, Iraqi, or Iranian. They probably would have been incarcerated for a couple of years had they come knocking on New Zealand's door, especially when they're told their story. You followed a star? Yeah, right. Foreigners are often the subject of fear, suspicion, and hostility, and it was no different in Jesus' day. Stars are not like neon-lit helicopters that hover a couple of kilometers above the ground. The nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 4.1 light years away. So the notion of the star stopping over the Bethlehem stable is an intuitive notion at best. It's a hunch, a feeling. The Magi's quest was not so much about eyeing a star in the sky, but rather seeing with the inner eye, the eye of imagination, mystery, and wonder. It was about trusting their feelings. Maybe that's why they were called wise. There's no indication in the Bible that the Magi were converts to Judaism or Christianity. They were strangers to the culture and religion of Jesus. Yet they were generously prepared to acknowledge that God, that extraordinary and mystifying presence, could exist outside their borders. They realized they didn't have a monopoly on God. There was more beyond their reach, beyond their horizon, beyond their seeing. Maybe that's why they were called wise. Every religion, like every culture, has a strong conservative element that wants to keep things the way they are, stable and predictable. God is often co-opted as the one who provides stability and predictability. God becomes a parochial deity, captured like air in a balloon and blown to the size of people's expectations. Yet right at the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus, we have these Magi who come from the outside, deliver their gifts, and return to the outside, never to be heard of again. They come and go. The balloon of self-imposed theological and cultural isolation is popped right at the beginning of the story. And of course, this would be the story of Jesus' life, crossing boundaries of border, class, race, gender, to be with people who are different and despised, pricking the consciences, egos, and closed minds of those about him. Is it any wonder that the church created the Magi story after encountering Jesus? Well, the Magi almost blew it. They went looking for a newborn king in a palace. Logical, I suppose. "Excuse me, Mr. Herod, sir, you great, wondrous, bloated brute you are. We're looking for a baby king. Had any kids you know of lately, Mr. King?" "No? Oh. Are there any other kings around here?" "No. Oh. Do we like our heads attached to our necks? Yes, would you excuse us a moment, please?" Apart from the obvious comedy in this passage, there's a lesson about wisdom. Contrary to popular opinion, the wise do make mistakes. They do blow it. The difference, however, between the wise and the rest is that the wise keep going. They don't let discouragement deflate them. Confusing power and wisdom, as the Magi did, is a common mistake. Yet they kept going, kept opening themselves to the unexpected, kept pushing on. Maybe that's why they were considered wise. Compare the Magi for a moment with the shepherds. The shepherds are told everything. An extremely talkative angel encounters them on the hillside and gives them all the details, where the child is, how to get there, and who will be there. When the shepherds arrive at the manger, the angel appears again to verify the place. "This is it, guys, that's a baby." And when the shepherds return home, they're guided by a whole gang of serenading angels. So these shepherds have no doubts, no questions, no problems, no persecutors, and no mystery. They didn't have to seek information. It was handed to them, faith on a plate. This is not, by and large, our experience. The easy-come, easy-go shepherds are not for us. Our experience is more like the struggling Magi. We, like them, are searchers. We have difficulty with the large questions of life. We are harassed by our modern Herods who seek to destroy our souls with consumerism, greed, and indifference. We worry about terrorism, AIDS, death, poverty, and war. Yes, we too would like heavenly messengers and divine assurances, such as the shepherds got. But the fact is, we experience neither. No, no doubt about it, it's the Magi. The struggling band crossing a hot desert without a cold beer in sight. That's the lot that resonate with us. They are our kind of people, people who struggle with faith. The bottom line is the Magi were searchers, and so are we. Maybe that's why they were called wise.